Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Two of the program. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Lance Briggs is going to join me here in the 7 o'clock hour. We are at 115 Bourbon Street, just a couple blocks west of Kedzie on 115th and Marionette Park, the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We actually have, if you want to jump in and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that Anthony and I went over, you can at 312-644-6767. You can also text the show at 670-11. I want to go back to something that Anthony was saying about Nagy and the way that he approaches this. It's a really difficult balancing act that coaches have to do regardless of who they are or the way they go about their job. Now, some people are able to, well, one person is able to be Bill Belichick, where there doesn't seem to be any joy, and the way that your team is run is sometimes uncomfortable for people to play in and flourish in, and players kind of get the idea that they're disposable. Even a guy like Tom Brady doesn't always feel like he's on solid ground with the team, and yet they win and they succeed. And I found that there are a lot of coaches, and we just went through this with John Fox, that feel like, well, that's the way that you have to be. Like, that's the way you have to be with the public, for example, or the media, because it works for Bill, so that's the way to do it. He's won 5 Super Bowls, so obviously that is the right way to do things. And I really do like what Nagy has done. And I remember in the process of the Bears going out and looking for a coach, what people told me around the league was really smart, really energetic. What I didn't realize is that he also has a personality that's a little bit infectious, because honestly, the same thing can be said for Mark Trestman. Really smart, really energetic. But where the difference lies is in the way you relate to people. And that's a skill that's really difficult to master. And I'm not saying that Nagy has mastered it, but he clearly has his team believing in what it is that he's selling. And anyone who teaches, and I teach a little bit, but anyone who teaches, I think probably understands this, on you have to figure out, yes, there are things that you want your students to learn. But you also have to figure out how you're going to be able to get them to learn what you want to do. And the great teachers are the ones that are able to bend to get the most out of their students. And it's something I strive to do. And all the teachers that I know, that's what they're striving to do, to get the most out of their students. And I feel that Nagy has really accomplished that. The balance of power and personality, It's a difficult thing. It can be harder than most people realize, that inner struggle of, well, I did whatever it is I did to get to where I'm at. I have now been giving all the validation that I could possibly want that the way that I do things is right. And this is what we're going to continue doing. And the fact that he has been able to tap into what it is that he can get the most out of his players with, I think is admirable. The other thing is less important, I know, to you, but to me, it's really important. And that's his ability to communicate with us. And when I say us, I don't just mean the media. I mean you through us. And the thing about it is, if you look at the way that he goes about doing his gig and explaining things, even with what we have now dubbed the Panda Plays, the Too Cute Plays, he understands that he is taking a risk publicly when he does something like that, that there's the risk that something could go horribly wrong and that he could end up wearing it, like totally wearing it if it goes wrong. Like with the Wildcat play where Tariq Cohen fumbles, you end up having to wear that when it goes wrong. But when it goes right, whether it's the Bradley Soule touchdown, you know, the fake punt, I had real issues with that as well. You have to wear that too. But the fact that he's willing to communicate with us and give us an idea of what he's thinking, and he has figured out, and I give him a lot of credit, he understands how to not give away the game plan. And that's what coaches are terrified of. We don't want the opponent to know what we're doing, so we can't say anything publicly. Rah! They all have film, man. They kind of know. But he understands how to walk the tightrope of, here's what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. I'm also not giving away the game plan by telling you what we're doing. I think it makes us better, those of us who cover the Bears. I think it makes us better, and I think that it makes the conversation around the team better because you're more informed. You have better access to what the coach is thinking. And it doesn't feel like it's government secrets. With John Fox, it felt like government secrets. With Lovie Smith, to a certain degree, it felt like government secrets. And it's not that secret. All right, I got some good news for you. If you're a Bears fan, there were 5 Bears selected to the Pro Bowl. The NFL, this is from the Bears. The NFL announced this evening that 5 Chicago Bears have been voted to the 2019 Pro Bowl, which will be played January 27th in Orlando. Ooh, that's exciting. Among the Bears selected to the Pro Bowl are Khalil Mack, right? We all knew that was happening. I'm so happy that Akeem Hicks is going. He deserves to go. He deserved to go last year, and he's going. So you got Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. Kyle Fuller is going to the Pro Bowl with all his interceptions. Eddie Jackson is going to the Pro Bowl, and I think that Eddie Jackson is also going to end up being all pro. Tariq Cohen, as a return specialist, which I think is interesting, but that is the most Pro Bowl selections for the Bears since 2014, and I would imagine that there are going to be more people added to that conversation. Here's a couple quotes from the Bears. This from Khalil Mack. God is good. Thank you to the Bears fans for giving me the opportunity to represent Chicago in the Pro Bowl. We also have a few of my guys with me. Congratulations to Kyle, Akeem, Eddie, and Tariq. Bear down, close quote. Here are some of the statistics. Mack, the September NFC Defensive Player of the Month, 5 sacks for minus 30 yards, 4 forced fumbles, 1 interception return, for a score, 4 quarterback hurries, 3 tackles for loss, 1 fumble recovery, 2 passes defended, and 17 total tackles in his first month with the Bears. The stat that I love about Khalil Mack, he's got 12.5 sacks this year in 12 games, and the Raiders have a total of 11. Thanks, John Gruden. Enjoy those draft picks that you got back. Enjoy it, because you're going to be picking late. I know you're going to package some stuff and everyone's going to say, no, he got a bunch of picks and he's got draft capital. He had Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and now he doesn't have those. And the picks that he's going to get back are not going to be great. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Akeem Hicks. For Akeem Hicks, this is his first Pro Bowl. He is leading the Bears with tackles for loss, 2nd on the team in sacks with 6. 14 quarterback hurries for him, 3 forced fumbles. I think that the guy is an absolute menace in their defensive line. The fact that he collapses pockets, that he warrants double teams as much as he does, I think is great. he is a force. He deserved to be on this team last year. I'm glad that he's on the team this year. Well done by him. Eddie Jackson makes his first Pro Bowl. 14 games he started. He got hurt this past weekend. Hopefully it's not too bad. 51 tackles for him, 15 passes defended, 6 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. He also has 5 touchdowns. So, you know, there's that. He's doing pretty well. 5 touchdowns in his career with the Bears is pretty ridiculous when the record for defensive touchdowns is 9. That's Charles Tillman's record. Eddie Jackson in 2 seasons has 5. That's a little bit scary. Defensive player of the month in November in the NFC for Eddie Jackson. Good for him. He has been as good as advertised. You got a first-round player in the 4th round because there was fear about the injury, and he's balled out. How about Kyle Fuller? Kyle Fuller got the big money last year. Didn't get the big money because he doesn't intercept the ball. And this year, he's got 7 interceptions. So on top of being a guy that you can trust playing the run, he now is a guy that takes the ball away. And he's got a shot at one of the best interception seasons that a Bear has ever had. So shout out to him because he's real close. He said this: thank you to the fans and everyone around the NFL for voting me to the Pro Bowl. It feels good to see what I've been working on since I was a kid paying off and getting respect around this competitive league as I continue to get better, close quote. If you remember, last year before the season, Vic Fangio took a real interest in making Kyle Fuller the best player that he can be. They were hanging out. Remember, they were playing golf and doing all sorts of stuff. And look at him realizing his potential. It's very cool to see a guy succeed on that level. For Tariq Cohen, he's being invited. See, I think Tariq is, I mean, they're inviting him as a return specialist, but we all know that he's going to, in the Pro Bowl, if the Bears aren't playing in the Super Bowl, there's also that. But if he does play in the Pro Bowl, he will definitely be on offense because how much fun is he? This is a guy who, yes, the punt return yards are there for him, but look at what he's done offensively. Leads the Bears in receiving yards, 2nd in rushing yards. He leads them. He's like a mini Matt Forte. A real mini Matt Forte. The Bears had 7 players voted as Pro Bowl alternates. That's a lot of people that are already on the alternate list. Leonard Floyd, Pro Bowl alternate. Wow. Bears fans went out to stuff some ballot boxes, I see. Danny Trevathan, Pro Bowl alternate. Roquan Smith, Pro Bowl alternate. He needs 17 tackles to tie Urlacher's record for tackles by a rookie. Charles Lindell Jr., Pro Bowl alternate. Cody Whitehair, Pro Bowl alternate. Mitchell Trubisky, Pro Bowl alternate. He might end up, if the Bears aren't in the Super Bowl, he might end up playing. I haven't looked at the rest of the NFC. I'll do that with Lance coming up in a little bit. But you know how it is. Oh, my arm hurts. I'm not going to play. Oh, so Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to play? Nope, I'm not going to play. My leg hurts. And okay, who's the next guy that we go to? Oh, Drew Brees. Well, I'm playing in a Super Bowl, so I can't play. All right. How about Jared Goff? No, it might be cold in Orlando. I don't want to play. And then Mitchens up in the Pro Bowl, and you're good to go. You could end up, though, like, you know, the Pro Bowl is just ridiculous. You could end up with, like, Eli Manning out there. Eli Manning at the Pro Bowl! Wait, but you were trash. But no one wanted to play, so I'm here. All right, we're going to take a break. If you'd like to react to the Pro Bowl news, we can do that. 312-644-6767 is the number. I hear the chuckle of one Lance Briggs. He is in the house for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We are at 115 Bourbon Street, 115th, just west of Kedzie. We'll be back after this on The Score. Welcome back in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. We are in the middle of the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We were at 115 Bourbon Street. Thanks, Miller Lite, for bringing us out. I get to introduce to the folks here at Bourbon Street, one Lance Briggs.
What's up, my man?
We got a big room here. We got a nice
huge
stage.
Venue.
And we got some news. We got some news. So I have to forego the pleasantries for now so I can get your thoughts on this.
Uh-huh.
The Bears have five Pro Bowlers and a whole bunch of alternates. But I want to talk.
Special night.
It's a really good night.
Yeah.
First things first. When you got your Pro Bowl nods, like when you got the first one.
Right.
What was it like?
It was a nervous night. My understanding was, you know, for a lot of guys, you get into Pro Bowl a year after you really deserve to be in there. And sometimes you're in there a year later than you're really supposed to be in there. Somebody else should be in that job. So for me, the second year, you know, it was 2004. I thought I had a good shot, you know, and I was the first alternate. And then the next year in 05 is when I got my first Pro Bowl. And I ended up, you know, it was a nervous night, but I got a call that night from my agent saying congratulations. So I didn't have to wait until the next morning, you know, around the team. So I knew then, so I rested a little bit better after I heard.
Was there a little extra cash involved in you going to the Pro Bowl? Was that?
There's a little extra cash now. You get a little cash. You get cash for going, you get extra cash for winning, and you get a car for being the MVP. Now, guys, now everybody wants to be the MVP. Everybody wants that, but you want to get that. You see, because if you go to Pro Bowl, I think you get something like $22,000 for going, and for winning you get $42,000. You know, so if you know going out to Hawaii is not cheap.
No, it's not.
You know, and then of course
people want to go with
to
you.
Go,
yes.
You know your sisters and the nieces and nephews, and it ends up being a really expensive trip. So. You know, if you go in and you lose the game, your check pretty much pays for the trip. So if you win the game, you can pay for the trip and have a little cash in your pocket.
All right, that's a little inside information right mm-hmm. there. I like mm-hmm. that very much. I want to go through each player that made the Pro Bowl
yeah.
and get your thoughts on why that player made the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
I think the first one is really easy. Khalil Mack was going to the Pro Bowl with the way that he's played. Watching him since he got here, why is he such a difference maker?
Well, he's a former Raider, former Defensive Player of the Year already. The things that he's done this year, he's been doing since day one. And it's not, you know, it might be a surprise to, you know, us Chicago fans because he's doing it for Chicago, but he's been doing these same things for, you know, the Oakland Raiders for years now. So it's come commonplace for him to go out and have multiple sack games, multiple forced fumble games, you know, picks for touchdowns, these big games where he becomes, you know, he just putting that Defensive Player of the Year argument again. And he's having another year just like that. So, he's a shoe-in, you know, for this year's Pro Bowl, and look for him to also make that all-pro ballot.
Okay. When it comes to how he changes things for offenses, what makes it so difficult to game plan against him?
Well, the problem with game plan against him is if you focus on him, that you're going to leave something open for someone else. You know, you throw a running back at him, you slide protection toward him. Now that opens holes and one-on-ones and free lanes for your other pass rushers. You know, and for a guy that's playing next to a Khalil Mack, you know, you should really be chomping at the bit because now you know that these offenses are spending their week to say, okay, how are we going to stop 52? All right? And in your mind, you should say, you know, stop 52, do the best you can to stop 52 because my number, you know, whether it be 99 or 95 or whatever it is, I'm going to get a chance to eat this week. And thank you, 52, for being on our team because they have to pay attention to you and they're going to pay less attention to me.
One of the guys that I think has benefited from it, but also I thought deserved to go to the Pro Bowl last year, was Akeem Hicks. He is now a Pro Bowler. And congratulations to Akeem for getting named to the Pro Bowl. Why did he deserve it?
Akeem Hicks has been a force in that interior defensive pass rush. Again, I think he's getting to the Pro Bowl. He should have been last year, but a lot of times for a lot of guys, they usually go a year after they really deserve to go in there. I'm glad he's in there. He's been a force. He's really, if you watch him on the field, he's probably the emotional leader on that defense. And I love to see him make plays early on because it's a sign of a spark. You know, he's a great spark plug for that defense. Can't block him one-on-one. You know, he demolishes guys one-on-one. And when you put two guys on him, now you have a one-on-one with your Khalil Mack. You know, so he creates a lot of issues, and he's not just a pass rusher. He dominates against the run as well.
Yeah, you see he's right there for tackles, for loss. The more I think about the Bears' defense, like they've got on every level, they've got someone who I think is – Alex will get mad, special, you know.
Right.
I mean, we know –
extremely good. How about that?
Okay, fine. Because we know Khalil Mack is like –
right.
Crazy good.
He's like, elite.
Elite.
He's elite.
But Akeem Hicks, to me, is in the conversation of with him making the Pro Bowl this year, you're talking about a guy who's in the conversation of the best defensive tackles in the league.
He's elite to me. You know, he's elite to me as well. And what you're asked to do in that interior and you taking on those double teams as much as he has to and still be a force – and still drive that the center of that pocket so quarterbacks can't step up and you allow your rush to get home. That is not an easy task, and he does it better, as good as anybody in the league.
Going through the Bears Pro Bowlers with a guy who went to a whole bunch of Pro Bowls, Lance Briggs here on The Score. A whole bunch, Lance. You went to a whole bunch of those trips to Hawaii. I'm going to get to Eddie Jackson.
Okay.
But I want to talk about Kyle Fuller first.
Yes.
This guy, if we turn the clock back, if we go back to September of last year, people are like, you know, get this guy out of town. Like, he's not living up to his potential. He has a great season last year outside of the interceptions. Like, he didn't make interceptions. This year, he got the money. A lot of passes broken up, not a lot of interceptions. This year, he's got 7 interceptions.
Yep.
And he looks more like a complete corner. Am I crazy, or is that the case?
You're right. You're right. You're right on. I mean, the consistency hasn't dropped off from last year to this year. You know, right after everybody kind of reeled him off a little bit in September, you know, he played the most consistent of any Bear throughout the year, in 2017. You know, minus the drops, he was where he needed to be all the time, consistent every game. So the difference between 2018 and 2017 is he's holding on to the ball. You know, he's holding on to the ball, and that is one thing that has elevated him from, you know, having a very good year to a great year and putting him into the Pro Bowl. You know, Kyle is – Kyle started off his career, you know, with an interception game. You know, we saw his talent right out the gates, and I think he's starting to really settle in and understand that it's not who's the fastest, it's not who's the strongest, it's who's the smartest in this game.
Now let's talk about Eddie J.
Woo.
I think that he's going to be an All-Pro this year too, Lance.
I agree with you. You know, Eddie J is, you know, we really got a break with him and got a lot of value in a guy who you know, messed his knee up and probably would have went a lot earlier had that injury not have happened. You know, but it's also that goes to, you know, whoever's college scouting went out there and they paid attention to him and said, you know what, we need to take this guy. You know, and so credit goes to him for bringing him in here. And again, credit goes to Eddie Jackson for being the playmaker that he is, being Johnny on the spot and being exactly where he needs to be all the time.
First-round talent that they got in the fourth round on Eddie Jackson. Mm-hmm. you always talk about how the idea of taking the ball away, it has to be trained. You have to drill it. Then you have to want it. How have they turned the corner as a defense, going from a defense that was pretty good but not taking the ball away to adding guys like Eddie Jackson that have now seemed to have a knack for taking the ball away?
Being where you need to be, first of all, everybody has fundamentals. You have fundamentals, and Vic Fangio is coaching guys to be in position where they need to be. Pass rush and cover. You got great pass rush. You have guys up front that are hitting home, and if they're not getting sacks, they're getting quarterback hits, or they're rushing that throw. When you have that, your back seven becomes a very opportunistic team. You create opportunities for your back seven because those throws are going to go a little bit high, they're going to go a little bit low, they're going to go a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, and they're going to give your defenders opportunities to make plays on the ball. So, it's all working parts. It all works together, but it allows your defensive backs to not have to worry about double, triple moves. There's a clock that goes on in the quarterback's head that says, okay, I need to get the ball out right now. Well, that same clock is in those DBs. The same DBs can say, okay, it's been three and a half seconds. It's been 4 seconds. If I see him plant this ball, I can make a break on this ball because he's not going to have a chance to double move me on this. That's when it looks like DBs know exactly what they're doing. They have a jump on those routes, but the reality is they know that the quarterbacks and the offenses don't have time to run deeper routes than that. They can't do double or triple moves because the pass rush won't allow.
You're the first person who brought that up about Eddie Jackson, how he's playing like a guy that knows when the ball is coming out. And so if the quarterback's going read one's covered, read two's covered, let me go back to three. Here's Khalil Mack. I got to get rid of the ball. Eddie Jackson's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And now he's running downhill.
Correct.
At where the quarterback is looking to throw the ball.
The one thing I it was one of the greatest feelings is, if I used to get caught up in play action, I'd run out, try to find a receiver to get under and put my body in front, to discourage a throw. While I'm running out there, the best thing you could hear is, I'd hear the crowd. I hear the crowd rumbling, and I turn around. I knew what it meant. It meant that there was a sack, and you'd hear this throughout the game. And so on times where I would get where I would recognize pass early and I would get a good jump back, where I was backpedaling. Now, because of that, I know the timing on this. I know that once this, if they're trying to high-low me, I know when the first receiver is going to set up, I know I can jet up to the second receiver, and I can either try to steal one or I'm going to discourage the throw, and he's going to hold the ball, and we're going to get another sack. So everything is all working parts. It's all working parts, but it works better when it starts up front. When it works better when you can get a pass rush.
Tariq Cohen is going as a specialist, as the return specialist.
Oh, yeah.
But he's been more than that for the Bears. Yes, he does well in punt and kickoff returns when they ask him to. But he has been a little bit of everything. He's got the most receiving yards on the team. He's obviously second in rushing on the team. What's made him so special so far this year?
His ability to do so many things at a high level. Even throwing in most cases, he throws the ball well. He runs the ball well. He catches the ball well. He's a big time player in special teams as well. The one thing I love about him, they talk about him being a joystick, but he can get from 0 to 100 extremely fast. And it's very tough for a defender. If he hits that hole in between those tackles to eat up angles, he'll eat up angles. And as a linebacker, if you're a step slow. Or you step the wrong way, you're going to miss him. He's going to get from the first level to the second to the third before you can get there.
It's been a really good run for the Bears so far this year.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it means that they had 5 guys who were elected to the Pro Bowl and 7 guys as alternates?
I think it means that that next year is even more hopeful. I think you go from 5 to 7 to 9. You have a year where you're that dominant, and teams have that. teams that go to the Super Bowls and teams that win those championships are teams that have 7, 8, 9 Pro Bowl guys, you know. And when you get those type of players or those type of numbers, you are playing extremely dominant football.
I want to talk to you about the two guys that that play traditional linebacker positions for the Bears. Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, they're both listed as alternates. We've been talking about Roquan, and everyone's been curious about how he's developed, but it's gone underneath the radar because of how good Hicks and Mack have been, Eddie Jackson have been. From game one to game 14, what have you seen from Roquan Smith?
A lot of the same, but just getting better, just more refined. You know, I saw him all over the field early on, but, you know, the way I see him on the field now, when I see him make contact, guys don't go very far, you know, and you'll see him miss a tackle. It happens because it's in the open field, but it doesn't happen often, you know, and that's what you want from a guy like him who's going to play in space more often than most of the other guys. A guy who's asked to make tackle after tackle after tackle. He does that. That's what he was doing at Georgia. That's what he's doing now. And you know, minus him getting hurt or anything like that, he can only get better. He can only get better in the pass rush. And he's been getting sacks. He can only get better at taking the ball away. And he's been able to take the ball away a little bit this year.
Is that instinctual, or do you sense that that's a guy that's been doing a lot of study?
Taking the ball away?
No. I mean, Roquan overall.
Instincts. It's instincts.
He's playing on instincts now.
Instincts is want to, you know, it's what his nature is. You know, that's who he is. You know, it's again, when I say that he's doing what we saw at Georgia, now he's just transitioning his game from college to the pros, that means that's who he is. That's a, you know, your evaluator got him right. This is what you're looking for. Well, this is what you're going to get because this is what he brings to the table, and that's what he is.
If there is no Khalil Mack, if there is no Akeem Hicks, I think we share this. Probably our favorite player on defense is Danny Trevathan.
Yes.
You've been a big proponent of his.
Big time.
Why?
Because he jumped out at me his first play. As a Bear, you know, I think it might have been a sack. You know, it might have been a sack fumble. It wasn't just a sack. It was a sack fumble, and he had mind enough to know to take the ball away. He's a guy who knows how to take the ball away. I think he's a playmaker because, one, he'll light you up. You know, he'll light you up. We've seen that when he hit Devontae Adams against Green Bay. And, two, he knows how to take the ball away, you know, and most guys don't understand that. You know, most guys are always worried, oh, I need to get this guy down. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to be in position. You know, the big-time playmakers, you know, the Brian Urlachers, you know, the Khalil Macks, Danny Trevathans, they know how to take the ball away.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk with this guy about, yeah, you.
Okay.
We're going to talk with this guy, Lance Briggs, about how it felt to watch the Bears beat Green Bay.
I can talk about that all night.
I know. Yeah. We're going to have that discussion next here on The Score. We are glad that you are hanging out with us. We got a nice crowd here at 115 Bourbon Street. So thanks to everyone who came out here to Bourbon Street. The Miller Lite Top Draft Show. I see ugly Bears Christmas sweaters. I'm sorry. You might not think it's ugly. My bad. I would consider it ugly, but you might think it's beautiful. Which is on our show this Sunday on NBC Sports Chicago. We're actually doing ugly Christmas sweaters this week.
Just make sure you don't say that to your parents, and when they're wearing sweaters, they might be mad.
That commercial is hilarious.
I love that commercial
because that commercial basically channeled my mom. Like when she snaps back with, "Oh, so you're having a messy kitchen party?"
No,
yeah, that's completely my mom. Like completely. So, but yeah, we're gonna do that. I got a good one. I got a good sweater this year. So I mean, I got ready for this one. I actually like scouted and looked early to get a sweater because last year I was scrambling. They were like, "Yeah, we're gonna do ugly Christmas sweaters." I was like, "I don't have one of those." And then I ran out and got something that was awful. This year, though, I think mine is pretty dope.
I'm on the fence right now.
Got a couple choices?
I have some choices. I just don't think it's an ugly sweater.
Okay. Are you going to be wearing the sweater that Mitch wore?
No.
I feel like you guys should wear that. Cause
put
I,
something together
with
right
the lights. That's. I mean, it's hilarious. It's like that commercial, but.
I'm going to have to. If I come with something really ugly, that means I went to the store to get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem there. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the fine folks over at the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are hot. Led by AHL's top scorer, Brandon Peary, the Wolves have won 5 straight games. Join the Wolves this Friday at Allstate Arena for the inaugural Craft Beer Arena Crawl as they host Rockford in an Illinois Lottery Cup game. I'm actually going out to the Wolves game on December 29th, next Saturday, because they are having superhero night at the Wolves. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
What hero are you going to be dressed as?
I mean, I'm actually coming from a wedding, so I'm going to be dressed as suit guy.
alter ego guy.
Yes. I'll be Clark Kent, I guess. Yes. Black Clark Kent. And but I'm probably going to pull out a Green Lantern hoodie or something.
There you go.
But there are a bunch of listeners who are going to go to the game, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun over there at the Chicago Wolves. They put on a good product, for sure, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Get butter. let's talk about Sunday. Now, I had the privilege to be in the room with you guys as you're watching this. But for the person who is listening right now driving around, what was it like for you to see the Bears get everything done? Like them win the game,
yes.
Win at Soldier Field,
yes.
Beat the Packers, and knock the Packers out of the playoffs.
Loved it. Every minute. You know, it was a long time coming. You know, it's not just, you know, not just for us, but for Chicagoans, man, and Chicago Bear fans. There's so many years that we go by and we see the Packers in the playoffs or the Packers, we get knocked out, the Packers get in, you know, we lose that game and the Packers get in and we get out. It's and it's nice. The thing that I love the most about it, outside of them, us securing and knocking them out, is, you know, our team is they're all, what, 30 and under. So this should be the start of something beautiful and long-lasting, and I would love to see that. You know, it not just happen this year, but next year and a year after and year after.
Isn't it great that the Bears are now – there was such a talent gap.
Yeah.
Like when you looked at them versus the Packers or the Vikings, and it got to the point where even Detroit seemed to have more talent than the Bears, that they just poof. Now the Bears are right there. And instead of chasing Aaron Rodgers around, now Aaron Rodgers is chasing you around.
And that's a great thing. It's a great thing when you see Aaron Rodgers flustered. And doesn't matter. Like, you know, he used to be the what do you call it, the anomaly, the guy that could change. If you're evenly matched, he's the guy that is the difference maker.
He's a cheat code.
Correct. He's the cheat code. You know, he there wasn't a cheat that he could use that could beat the Bears on Sunday.
What kills me in watching him, and I'd love to get your perspective. So I've watched the game now 3 times.
Okay.
And the first time I watched it with you guys. Second yep. time I watched it, I wanted to, like, hear some of the TV stuff, and there were some things I wanted to look at in particular. The third watch, I spent just going through the Packers offense.
Okay.
And watching Aaron Rodgers, because I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I like what he does. I think he's terrific. He missed a lot of throws.
He did.
And it seemed like he was pointing the finger at other people, like, you ran the wrong route, or you did. And there were, I'm sitting there going, I know I don't play quarterback in the NFL, but I feel like you had a guy who had a step on a safety, and you overthrew the guy by 3 yards.
Right. And for a guy who's as clutch, you know, in tight situations that can get a ball in perfect places, it's interesting that he threw balls like that and then said that. You know, I imagine him making the throw and then going off on the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Like you have to run that route 2 yards deeper.
Right.
You have to.
Hey, you gotta. You know. But I'm gonna get the ball to you.
But next
I need to
time,
tell you
know
next
that.
Time, right. And that's how I see Aaron Rodgers, especially in pockets where he's escaping. You know, it wasn't a comfortable pocket for him. You know, he didn't have a comfortable pocket all game. So for him, you know, he had to get that ball out. You know, he had to get that ball out in a lot of situations. And even when he scrambled, he had to get the ball. I've seen him make throws on the scramble where no one else could have caught the ball. It just wasn't possible for anybody else to catch the ball. It was an amazing throw. So I wonder what's really going on.
Yeah, and maybe we'll find out once we get to the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe some of those stories will start to leak out and all that stuff. Or maybe they won't.
He's very private. He doesn't like, some of that business getting out there.
I'm curious to see who they hire. Like, do they go after – does it have to be an offensive guru? Or I can give you the nightmare scenario.
Go for it.
Vic Fangio becomes the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and hires Joe Lombardi from the Saints to
be the OC.
The Bears will
lock that interview. They can lock that interview.
And say, no, you can't go over there?
I think that's one interview they won't allow.
Vic, here's some extra money, man.
Sorry, buddy.
Don't go over to go coach the Packers.
You can go anywhere, but you can't go there, buddy.
We're not going to let you go to Green Bay. That's Mm-mm. worked out really well. What does it say about Nagy that he was, as a new head coach with all this power,
yep.
that he was like, I'm going to go do this offensive thing? I got the guy over there that can run the defense. What does that say about him?
Well, I don't really see the Bears coaches outside of Hollis Hall being the most powerful coaches, you know, in the league. You know, they're coaches that have a lot of power. You know, Andy Reid has a lot of power in Kansas City. But, you know, and Nagy came into a situation where he was told, you have a defensive coordinator already, you know, and so you're going to have to work together. I think he's worked extremely well with Vic Fangio. I don't know how behind closed doors how that relationship began, obviously it starts with your head coach. But what I do love is Nagy has realized this is our bread and butter. Our bread and butter is our defense, you know, and what we can do on offense can only help. You know, our success on offense can only help this team.
And it's worked out. It's worked out really well. Everyone seems happy.
He's making it more of a transition, too, you know, and during this back end of the season. We're seeing more runs called. We're seeing more smart runs called, you know, and we're seeing less cute runs, and we're seeing more power. So that's a good thing.
On the show yesterday, I threw this out to Bears fans, and so we decided
mm-hmm.
that when Nagy gets too cute, mm-hmm. we're going to call those panda plays.
Panda.
Mm-hmm. Like cute pandas, but pandas are also Bears, so you still have that, but they're too cute.
I mean, there's a lot of bears we could use there. Well, I mean, you got koala bears.
Well, that was, I mean, we went through.
You got
a whole
teddy
thing.
Bears.
We said koalas. Well, initially, I was like, we call them kitten plays.
Kodiak bears.
Kodiak bears aren't cute. They're scary.
They can climb trees. They're little, though. They're little.
All right. So we went koalas. We went with puppy plays because
okay.
we like the idea of the alliteration. You got pee and pee. So puppy plays.
Okay.
What else did we come up with, Tony? Do you remember? I don't know. Herbie, do you remember what else we came up with yesterday? Kid plays, puppy play, not kid and play. I realized.
I heard that too. I heard that.
Like
nice.
Doing the kick step out there. But we ended up with panda plays. When Nagy gets too cute, we can now go, oh, here's one of them panda plays.
It's a panda play, huh?
Like the fourth and two.
Well,
that's a panda play.
I'm telling you right now, wait till you get in the green room, and then you call it a panda play. I want to see the reaction from
Alex.
Matt.
Okay? Well, they're going to clown me. I'm okay with it. I mean, that's part of my role is to be a little bit of the guy that's being made fun of because I didn't play football and go to Pro Bowls, which is fine. I'm okay. I'm good with being Agent Coulson. We have determined that I work with three Avengers and yes. I'm Agent Coulson, yes. which is totally total. Have you picked out which Avenger you are? Because I was actually thinking about this the other day.
Avenger?
If we go with the idea that I'm Agent Coulson and you three are the Avengers, which Avenger are you?
Ooh. Thor?
I actually had you as Thor.
I would say Thor. In a weird way. I just thought thinking about it. Because Alex is more like he's Iron Man. He's definitely Iron Man. And Matt is more of actually Black Panther.
Yeah.
I was going to say Captain America, but no, he's more Black Panther.
He's more Black Panther. Yeah. All right, so good. We got it. So we got Black Panther, Iron Man, and Thor.
Yep.
And Agent Coulson.
Yep.
That's not bad. That works out really well. If you have some suggestions for my three compadres that I work with, if I'm Agent Coulson in the scenario, which three Avengers are they? There's an argument to be made that you're also the Hulk.
Okay.
But I think you're funnier, so Thor actually makes sense for that. So if you got an idea which Avenger those three guys are, hit us up in Texas. 67011 is the way that you can do it. You can also tweet us as well at Lance Briggs, at Lawrence W. Holmes. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Bears, their Pro Bowlers, and you know what we can start talking about now?
What's that?
Postseason.
Yes.
Because the Bears are officially in as the NFC North champions.
And as a player, you know, you're not supposed to talk about that. You're supposed to talk about the current game. But we can talk.
We can talk about the current game, too, because I actually think it's a little trickier than it looks on paper. So I'll discuss that with Thor coming up next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.